Welcome to all of Calvary Church. I am Pastor Frank Termine, the one and only pastor at Calvary Church. And I want to welcome anyone else who might be watching today who's not part of Calvary Church. And if you're not part of Calvary Church but want to become part of Calvary Church, just send us an email and we'll start emailing you out the weekly newsletter that'll give you all the information about our church. And we'd love to have you be part of our church. You don't have to wait till we come back in person to become part of our service and part of our church. I want to wish everyone, all our moms, a happy Mother's Day. Not everyone, but our moms, happy Mother's Day today. I want to encourage everyone to honor your moms, as the Bible says, even if it has to be at a safe distance away from her. We usually take this day at Calvary Church to honor all the women that God has blessed us with at our church. And so I encourage you that for you to honor and encourage and just bless all the women in your life because they are a blessing from God. And I understand today is also a hard day for many. Mother's Day can conjure up some sad feelings for many people and for lots of reasons. Some women long to be mothers, but that hasn't happened yet and maybe never will. Other moms conjure up thoughts of estranged children or have regrets over bad decisions or relationship with a child or children. Others don't have good memories of their mom. For some, Mother's Day reminds them of the beloved mother that has died, possibly even recently. And for that and all many other reasons that today might be a painful day, we acknowledge your pain. So will you please bow your head as I pray for all of these situations in our service today. Dear Lord, we are so blessed to be able to gather as one virtually to glorify you. May our morning strengthen your people and convince others that you are the one true living God. We praise you for creating mothers and the specialness of a mother's love. May we honor all our moms today. For the many who today brings some sadness, we ask that you quiet their hurting hearts. May you bring people around them today that will mourn with them and encourage them. And as we study your holy word, we ask that you soften our hearts to hear what you want each of us to hear today. May not one of us leave today unchanged by your word. I ask that you give me great clarity and conviction as I boldly preach your word. We ask you all these things in the name of our reconciling Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. And all the people of God said, Amen. And I want to encourage all of you to join us in prayer during the month of May. We're doing a little bit extra gathered prayer in May. We're going to gather online every Wednesday at noon for a half hour. We're going to continue to gather Sundays at 9:15 for a half hour. And then next Sunday night at 7 p.m., we gather to praise and worship the Lord. And so I hope to see all of you at least some of these prayer gatherings. Please consult your weekly email for the links to each of those online prayer meetings. So let's begin today. I've chosen a psalm that I think is appropriate for where we are today. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are my God and my Savior. My hope is in you all day long. So if I can ask you now to please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be expounding on just one verse of scripture today. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. And that's it. Matthew 18, 15. Now, last week I preached on this verse and continue on to verse 22. And in these verses, Jesus lays out a four-step process. You may not need all four steps. But a four-step process for a person to implement when they are offended by another Christian brother or sister. And normally, and if done right, reconciliation can occur in step one if done correctly. And that's the key thing, if done correctly. So I plan to spend the next 2 to 3 weeks really focusing on step one. And step one is in verse 15. Let me read it to you. Matthew 18, 15, Jesus says this. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. Now, this is a pretty simple command to understand. When your brother or sister offends you in word or deed, meet privately, in person, if at all possible, one-on-one to reconcile. Let me say that again. If your brother or sister offends you in word or deed, meet privately, in person, if at all possible, and one-on-one to reconcile. And again, I'm going to preach on this like it's an event, but this could be a process. It may take several meetings to get to that point of reconciliation. It may be a process, not an event. So keep that in mind as we walk through today's, well, over the next 2 or 3 weeks. Now, this is one of those commands of Jesus that is so simple to understand. It's not rocket science, but it's usually difficult to do. Easy to understand, difficult to actually do. And the difficulty lies in our inherent sin nature. That's the problem. When someone sins against us, we're wounded. And our natural sinful response is revenge. You wounded me, now I'm going to wound you back. At our primeval, strictly secular humanist level, this seems just. You know, tit for tat. But as far as relationships go, revenge is very destructive. It usually begins a downward spiral that could weaken, even end a relationship. And in the extreme, revenge can lead to murder. Although meeting privately, in person, one-on-one, to reconcile seems quite doable on the surface, I want to tell you it requires the supernatural help of the Holy Spirit to do it well. It requires the supernatural help of the Holy Spirit to do it well. Godly reconciliation done Jesus' way requires powerful, overarching Christian attitudes that we bring to the reconciliation process. So today I want to focus on 5 supernaturally empowered attitudes. In other words, we have the process that we studied last week. This week we're going to study the attitudes. Next week we'll get into the nitty-gritty of the how-tos. But as simple this process is, if you don't bring these supernaturally empowered attitudes to your reconciliations, your reconciliations are going to fail or at least fall short of Jesus' standard. And did you know that healed bones in our body that break, when they heal, they're strongest at the point of the break. The strongest part of the bone is the part that actually broke. In the same way, healed breaches in our relationship can actually make our relationship stronger. And that's Jesus' standard. To use reconciliations to actually improve our relationships. Lots of people think, well, if I confront somebody about their sin, it's going to lead to this big thing, it's going to hurt a relationship. No, that is not true. That's a lie from hell. And if you have 2 Christian brothers and sisters that do reconciliation process, even when sin occurs, your relationship can get stronger. Now, some of you may be sitting with one or more people that you have strained relationships with. Listen up, as you may be able to fix your problems if you can deploy some of these attitudes as you try to reconcile over problems in your relationship, problems that are caused by sin. But you're going to need the Holy Spirit's help. You're going to need the Holy Spirit's help. So let's go. We got 5. Number 1. Supernaturally empowered attitude. Number 1. Pray with and for your offender. Pray with and for your offender. And I want to ask you, look around the room with the people you're with. Do you regularly pray with those people? You should. You must start here. All the next 4 attitudes arise from your prayerful attitude. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, some misunderstand and think that, well, what this is saying is if I have these desires that I've come up with and I delight in the Lord, God's going to grant my desires. No, that's not what that says. Psalms 37:4 says, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, God will place his desires into our heart. God will put his desires into our heart. Prayer should not be focused on what we want. Prayer should be focused on what God wants. When we pray for our offender, and even with our offender, God will soften our hearts toward reconciliation. God will supernaturally take away our urge to hurt back, to wound back. God will give us the supernatural ability to want to forgive. Why? Because God wants you to have strong relationships more than you do. Let me say that again. God wants you to have strong relationships more than you do. Think about this for a minute. If you don't have strong relationships, it might be because you're actually fighting against God and what he's trying to do in those relationships. You are actually fighting against God. Psalm 114, 3-4 gives us a great prayer, or at least a template for one. Psalm 141, 3-4 says this. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. That's a great place to start. Set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let not my heart be drawn to what is evil. To take part in wicked deeds with men who are evildoers, let me not eat of their delicacies. In other words, Lord, watch my mouth and let me stay away from evil. You know what? This is me personally. When I pray for someone who offends me, God melts my heart. Most of the time, he melts my heart, but he also lifts the veil off of my eyes about what I did wrong in our relationship, how I may have contributed to their offensive behavior. Now, some of you listening have a troubled relationship with someone else who might be listening with you or in your household. I want to tell you this. If you pray with and for that person, and you only do this, I can almost guarantee you your relationship with that person will improve. I can almost guarantee it. It's hard to pray with somebody and for someone and have this terrible feeling about them. Number two, supernaturally empowered attitude number two, is we need to react to offense with seriousness. Now let me explain this one. I don't want you to take this out of context. Partaking of the Lord's Supper is a very important Christian discipline. The Lord's Supper is very important to our Christian life. Sharing communion with other Christian brothers and sisters reminds us how Jesus suffered and died so that we might be forgiven and reconciled to him. It reminds us what he has done so that we could be reconciled to him. But the Lord's Supper also reminds us that we are all interconnected. We're interconnected with each other in the body of Christ. Jesus paid a horrible price so that we might be connected this way to God, up and down, but also this way with our Christian brothers and sisters. And the Lord's Supper is there to continually remind us about the vertical dimension to our relationship with God and the horizontal relationship to our brothers and sisters. Both. The Apostle Paul tells the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 11:17 that their meetings, quote, do more harm than good, close quotes. In other words, the Corinthian church would be better off staying at home than gathering for the Lord's Supper. And so Paul goes on to explain in the next verse why. 1 Corinthians 11:18, he says, I hear that when you come together in a church, there are divisions among you. There are divisions among you. So they're gathering for the Lord's Supper, and they have all these factions and problems in the church, broken relationships. Paul then explains that God is judging them for that, pretty severely, for taking communion in the midst of all their divisions. 1 Corinthians 11:30, Paul explains, That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep, meaning have died. God is judging them with sickness and death because of what they're doing. Saints, I just want to point out to you that breaches in your relationships with other Christians is a very serious matter to God. Taking communion when you have a breach in your relationship with another Christian is a doubly serious matter. Now, the right fix is not to decide not to take communion anymore. Oh, I won't take communion anymore. Now, and a lot of people do that. Don't do that. The correct fix is to go and fix the breach. As much as it depends on you, and that's important. As much as it depends on you, I'll explain that in a moment. So take these woundedness and that breach that's caused by your woundedness very seriously. It's a serious issue. Number three. Supernaturally empowered attitude number three. Overcome evil with good. When someone wounds you because of sin, let's call it what it is. It's evil. It's evil. So when someone does that, overcome that with good. Now this flies in the face of our sinful natural selves. We need lots of Holy Spirit help here. And a little passage in Romans 12, 17 to 21 is a key for this principle. So I want to ask you all to open up to Romans 12, 17 to 21. Very important principle here for overcoming evil with good. So Romans 7, 12, 17 to 21, I'll walk you through it and explain it. Paul starts and says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Don't pay evil with evil. Paul knows that our predilection, what our predilection is when we are wounded. When somebody does evil against us, we want to do evil against them. So I want you to get this illustration of two people in the mud flinging mud at each other. You know, one's hurt, the other one flings mud back, and the other person slings dirt back at them. What Jesus is, or what Paul is writing here is, don't do that. Don't do this. He goes on to say, be careful to do is right in the eyes of everybody. And he's going to explain what that is. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Peace, harmony. God doesn't hold you responsible for how the other person reacts as long as you handle reconciliation in a godly manner. You know, if this is the way your relationship looks, if you make the decision, you say, no, 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 I am going to handle this from now on in a godly manner. I'm going to get up out of the mud and handle this in a godly manner. That person might say, hey, get back down here so I can fight with you. But if you say, no, 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 we're going to handle this in a godly manner the way Jesus. This person has a decision to make. They're not going to have anybody to argue with here. And maybe you just have to wait till they're ready, or they're going to have to come up to where you are. They're going to have to come up to where you are. So that's what he's saying here, is as much as it depends on you, get up out of the muck and mire, stop slinging dirt, and start doing this in a godly manner. Do not take revenge, Paul continues. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. And in your Bible, I'd make sure God's wrath is underlined. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. That's a quote from Deuteronomy 32:35, says the Lord. Now, seven times previous to where he says God's wrath here in the book of Romans, seven times before it gets to this point, Paul refers to God's wrath. God's wrath is his righteous anger toward sin. God's wrath is his righteous anger toward sin. God is angered by our sin. No question about it. He has this righteous wrath. It's not out of control. It's his wrath. He's angry because of sin. That is not who we were created to be. Now, get this. It was Jesus who suffered God's wrath for your sin. All of your sin. It was God who made Jesus suffer for all of your sin so that his wrath could be satisfied. But catch this. You know that offense against you? If that was done by a Christian brother, Jesus suffered for that offense on the cross. Jesus suffered for that offense on the cross. I want you to understand that. Your offender will also have to answer for his or her offense at the judgment seat. See 2 Corinthians 5:10. It's not going to keep them out of heaven or It's not going to keep him out of heaven, but he's going to have to answer for that in some way. What that looks like, I am not 100% sure. But it won't affect his eternal judgment. So what God is saying is here, look, I'm God. Let me be the judge. I'm the only righteous judge. Let me handle that. He will handle justice much better than you or me. We're not God. So let him handle it. But for us, he goes on and finishes and says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil. In other words, don't get drawn into the evil, but overcome evil with good. So don't let evil draw you in. Instead, you do good things and let the evil be redeemed through you. So it's very important for us to come to the reconciliation meeting you're meeting with the person who offended you, who wounded you, hurt, and we need to come to that reconciliation wanting to do good in that meeting. Maybe you want to start with bringing them a cinnamon crunch bagel from Panera to start the whole thing off right. I don't know. But we got to come with that attitude that I'm bringing good to this situation that is bad right now. And I want you to notice something. It is not sufficient to enter reconciliation with the It is not sufficient to enter reconciliation with the attitude of not repaying evil for evil, wound for wound only. It's not sufficient. We need to come there with that attitude. I'm not going to repay evil for evil. But we can't stop there. It's not enough not to do the negative. The Lord calls us to overcome the evil with good. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I need a powerful filling of the Holy Spirit to do good to someone who wounds me. I need the Holy Spirit to help me. But that is exactly what godly reconciliation requires, to respond to evil with good. Number four, spiritually empowered attitude. Number four, forgive as God forgave you. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Know that Jesus paid a terrible price on the cross so that we could be forgiven by God. Now, our reconciliation with God was free to us. It was expensive to Jesus. It was expensive to God the Father. It normally costs us little to forgive. Mostly, it causes us the need to swallow our pride. Nothing like what Jesus had to go through for our reconciliation. Forgiveness is to be focused on what has been done for me, not what has been done to me. Let me say that again. Forgiveness is focused on what has been done for me, not what has been done to me. In other words, the reason I am to forgive you for maybe an offense that you committed against me is because I have been forgiven of much by God. That's the reason I forgive you. That's the reason I forgive you. I'm not to dwell on what you did to me. I'm to dwell on what God did for me. Forgiveness in all of our relationships is absolutely, utterly indispensable. Indispensable. And it's a large subject matter. And I've preached two full sermons on forgiveness recently that I refer you to on our website. So write these down, November 17th and December 8th. November 17th, December 8th. They're all about forgiveness. So I'm not going to re-preach those today. Go and look those up. I just want to say a forgiving spirit is essential in all relationships. It's also very counter to our sinful nature. To truly forgive, we need God's supernatural empowerment. Can I get an amen on that? I know there's a lot of amens about that. And so five, last but not least, supernaturally empowered attitude number five is confronting my offender makes me better too. Confronting my offender makes me better too. It's not just for them, it's for me too. We shouldn't think that confronting our brother is only to help straighten him out or her out. It's going to help straighten us out too. First of all, let's be honest. It is very seldom that offenses only go one way. They do, but it's probably less often than we think. Usually when we confront another for their wrong, he or she will point out one or two things that we could have been done better. I met with someone in the not-so-distant past because I really thought they handled the situation very badly with me. You know, I prayed about the situation. I did lots of self-reflection, and I thought, you know, I did a pretty good job during this interaction. I think they were mostly wrong. But when we met, the person pointed out several things that I could have stated a lot better. In fact, I didn't remember saying some of the things until they brought them back up to me. And when they did, I remembered saying them. I realized that some of their wrong behavior was caused by me and the things that I had said. I was the cause for some of those things. Now, that doesn't excuse what they did or said. They own that and ask forgiveness for those things. But I was confronted with some things that I could have done better. Some of my failings. Some evil on my part, quite frankly. Quite frankly, that is how reconciliations normally go. They normally go. See, we get logs in our eyes. And the reconciliation helps us remove those logs from our eyes. For some reason, we see others' sin 20/20. We can see it clearly as day, right? But our sin, not so much. We can be blind to it. So very important that we go in with an open mind, that I'm going there to hear what I did wrong in this reconciliation, in this instance. Proverbs 27:17 says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I just thought of something. Let's shed a little light on this thing here. Two iron blades, when rubbed together, can actually sharpen both blades. So too, when two Christians come together to reconcile, if done properly, if done correctly, both parties come away sharper, and the relationship will be improved. If we handle our reconciliations correctly, both parties are going to come away sharper, and the relationship together is going to actually be improved. And there's another reason why we must confront those who hurt us. Leviticus 19:17-18. Old Testament, third book of the Bible, way back when. Moses writes, do not hate your brother in your heart. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you will not share in his guilt. Then he goes on, he says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now we're told to rebuke our neighbor who offended us so that we might not end up hating him. And the reason given is so that we would not share in their guilt. Now, you might sin against me, and I'm supposed to rebuke you so I won't share in your guilt? How can I share in the guilt of your sin? Well, we get the answer from verse 17 and verse 18. If we don't address our hurt, but instead stuff our pain and anger down and not deal with it, we could end up bearing a grudge and seeking revenge. In fact, we probably will. Stuffing our hurt and pain over an offense never results in a dissipation. No, it's never that we press it down and it just goes away. That's not what happens. What happens when we press it down, it ferments in our soul, and it actually bubbles up and gets bigger and bigger over time. And that fermenting pain and hurt may affect other relationships that you have and may cause you to end up doing something terrible at a later date to that person who hurt you or even somebody else. Leviticus 19:17-18 tells us this. Loving confrontation and reconciliation with our offender protects us from retaliating in simple actions and hate. It actually protects us when we address the sin that somebody's perpetrated against us. Now, being open to addressing our own deficiencies is really contrary to our sinful nature. You know, on your Facebook page, if you like people pointing out your deficiencies, put that down on a Facebook page. I'd like to meet you. I've never met somebody that liked that. But if you're out there, I want to meet you. See, spiritual empowerment helps us to come to reconciliations, open to hear, admit, and ask forgiveness for our failings to make us better. We need spiritual empowerment to do that. We don't want to do that on our own, but we can through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so there you have 5 very spiritually empowered attitudes that make reconciliations with people who offend us work. They make it work, those 5 spiritually empowered attitudes that we bring to the process. And I want to summarize this by starting with God again. God was the prime mover in our reconciliation with Him. He's the one that got our reconciliation started. We broke the relationship with our sin. He's the one who's the prime mover in our reconciliation with Him. God the Father provided Jesus. Amen. His suffering and dying on the cross can heal the breach in our relationship caused by our sin. It's Jesus who can heal the brokenness in our relationship with God. All who accept Jesus' work on the cross can be reconciled with God, by God, through Jesus. Say this again. All who accept Jesus' work on the cross can be reconciled with God, by God, through Jesus. Think about this. God overcame our evil with His good. God overcame our evil with His good. So He's not asking us to do anything that He hasn't already done, which was much more difficult than anything He's asking us to do. God calls all who have been reconciled to Him to reconcile with others who call themselves Christians. But we have to overcome our own sinful predilections to do that. The moment we got saved, we were given the Holy Spirit to allow us to do that. The Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome our sinful predilections. We can be more like God, like I talked about, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, these principles, something I said there might have prompted you, these principles can be applied to relationships outside of the body of Christ. But again, those outside the body of Christ might not share some of our values. Probably don't. So that's why I'm really focusing on relationships in the body right now. But these principles can be used outside. We need every bit of Holy Spirit power to reconcile with those who wound us. No question about it. To pray with or for an offender requires spiritual empowerment. To react to offense with seriousness, we just want to brush it off. It requires spiritual empowerment. To overcome evil with good requires spiritual empowerment. To forgive as God forgave us requires spiritual empowerment. To believe that confronting our offenders makes us better too requires spiritual empowerment. Those attitudes are available to us through the Holy Spirit. When we combine these godly attitudes with some how-tos that I'm going to present over the next week or two, we will begin to have powerful reconciliations with those who sin against us, and we will have better relationships. Guarantee you, because Jesus said so. I'm not guaranteeing you, He is. If you have a lot of unreconciled relationships in your life, it might be because you have not brought the Holy Spirit-empowered attitudes to your reconciliation attempts. That could be the cause. But it also might be because you don't even have the Holy Spirit. There's only one way to get the Holy Spirit, that is to be reconciled to God through Jesus. It's the only way you can get the Holy Spirit. You need to repent and believe in Jesus Christ as your own Lord and Savior. So if you don't know how to do that, you've never heard anything like this before, and you're not with anybody who can help you, I want to encourage you to contact me. I want to explain to you how you can repent and believe, and that you too can have the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Lord, we praise You for offering Your reconciliation to all men through the suffering and death of Jesus. May those of us who have accepted our need and insufficiency for Your reconciliation allow the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Holy Spirit, We ask you to change our attitudes about reconciling with others. We pray that all our relationships will be improved. We pray this in the powerful name of our reconciling Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen. Service isn't over. Leave here and go on to your next post for musical worship. And don't forget Children's Church at 11 for your kids. Stay safe and healthy. And may God bless you this week.